This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Venice, Florida. I'm with Jim Coyne of the National Air Transport Association. And, Jim, you've been visiting us here on some airport issues. But one thing I'd like to ask you about first is the crash in Austin. The incident raised some security issues, maybe, but from the inside perspective at Washington, do you think this is going to have any legs?
If there are any legs, they're going to be very short legs, I think, because although, you know, you and I, I'm sure, were really concerned in the hours after the accident that all sorts of overreaction might occur, I think cooler minds at TSA have looked at the case specifically and seen that this was an aircraft owner who was in his own airplane, you know, went out to perfectly appropriately through the various rights that all airplane owners have to get into their airplane and fly. And it could have just as easily have been a pickup truck or a rider van or any other law-abiding citizen misusing a vehicle. And I think, you know, I was worried if the plane had been a stolen airplane, which a lot of us were afraid of in the first minutes because there were some, you know, erroneous press reports about that, and that would have been a situation which would have been a much more dire circumstance in terms of overreaction in Washington.
Now, one representative has suggested hearings on this. Do you think those will happen, and will they have any impact?
I think the odds are probably 1 in 3 right now of hearings on this. You know, this is always a question of members of Congress getting pressure from somebody or some reason. There may be other agendas associated with this that can be advanced by someone holding a hearing. But my guess is that the appetite for most citizens to revisit this, most congressmen to revisit this, is pretty low. And I think the leaders of the committee, we've all talked to, we've gotten a pretty good understanding with them that if they do hold hearings, it won't be the kind of media event that we've sometimes seen in the past with a lot of hysterical overreaction.
Moving on to TSA, let's take the temperature of that agency from your perspective. What is TSA's stance towards continuing GA security issues? It seems to us from out here in the hustings that they have kind of come to their senses maybe and backed off on what's practical and what's useful.
Well, I think what really happened is they got some people who knew a little bit about general aviation in TSA. You know, we at NATA worked hard to get some good people over there. One of our former staff people went over there. They have got a much more capable, familiar, knowledgeable team. You know, not a huge team. They really only have 2 or 3 people over there that have much GA experience. But I think, you know, that makes all the difference. If you've got nobody in your shop that can really explain how pilots really do use their airplanes, how small airport, you know, the reality is that aviation security concerns, many of them have been created out of thin air by kind of fictional novelists who said, well, you know, I can envision something happening with this and this and this, and you know, and we can all be creative novelists, but the reality of general aviation is that it's a very disciplined group of people. We probably have the highest percentage of former military people, you know, in our profession of anything. And if there is going to be a nut, I think everybody comes to understand that, you know, small airplanes are small airplanes. And you know, it's funny, I was having dinner with the FAA administrator the night after the plane crashed into the White House about 16 years ago, and then he got a phone call during the dinner from the Secret Service trying to blame the FAA and the aviation community for this nut who plashed his little plane into the base of the, and he, you know, I shouldn't quote him on this, but he basically said, S happens, you know, and yeah. You know, and it's just whether it happens with a car or, I mean, we've had virtually every single transportation device you can imagine has been used for terrorist acts. We've had ambulances, we've had bicycles, we've had subways, we've had, you know, just virtual boats, we've had speed, you know, we've had, I'm surprised they haven't used a hot air balloon yet. I mean, but I shouldn't mention that in Albuquerque, but, you know, it's just a, you know, absurd, and it's unfortunate that the aviation industry, which is so regulated and so law-abiding, you know, has been such an easy target for a lot of politicians. But fortunately, TSA has some backbone to go up to the fear-mongering side of politicians and tell them, we're not into the fear-mongering game anymore. I mean, we've seen how politicians have sometimes overreacted. You know, obviously the Christmas Day bombing, I think there was a lot of overreaction to that. And fortunately, they haven't banned underwear just yet, but, you know, it won't be long.
Corner, but I think it does seem there has been progress there.
There has been progress. And I think, of course, this could all change in a heartbeat. I mean, we haven't had a new TSA administrator, finally confirmed yet. So hopefully we'll get a good, reasonable person in there that's kind of got a good law enforcement background.
Last question. You're here in River City because, like many communities, we have an airport that's under pressure from a hostile council. In a presentation here, you talked a little bit about what can be done about that. Are we seeing more of this, and are we, as an industry, developing better tactics to deal with it?
Well, frankly, I think we saw much more of this when the development industry was booming, when there were more greedy, I don't use the term greedy, there were more developers looking at airports with an eye, I'd like to build 50 condos at that airport. And now that the development business has kind of gone through this recession, we don't see quite as many people having that economic motive. We still have the not in my backyard side of the equation. And I think that's what exists here primarily in Venice, where you have people who somehow feel that they are so important that they don't have any responsibilities to their community. But I think the aviation community here is getting organized. I think the FAA will work with many of the aviation community here. And I think politics can be used here to help get some new people elected. So I'm hopeful, but it takes a lot of work. And we always have to, I explain to people, it's like, getting the dandelions out of your lawn. You think you get them out, one season, they pop back up the next season. And we've got to, this is a permanent responsibility of all of the aviation associations. And we all work at it together, AOPA and AAAE and NBAA and GAMA and AAA, the whole crowd. We're all in this together, and we have a lot to continue work at. I think we're fortunate that right now the FAA understands the importance of the system of airports. We can't let one local community shut down an airport any more than we can let one local politician shut down the interstate highway system in their community. The whole thing has to hold together. We all have to recognize our responsibilities, and we've got to be good citizens and good neighbors ourselves as pilots. I mean, we got to work to make sure that we don't abuse the privilege that we have.
Well, thanks for speaking with us, Jim.
Nice to talk to you, Paul. Always enjoy it.
We've been speaking with Jim Coyne of the NATA. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb from Venice, Florida. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.